You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. This week's episode is split into two sides. This is Side A.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of Clock Radio Speakers. Emphasis on another because we just literally gave y'all that episode, what, like 3 days ago, 4 days ago?
Another one.
Yo, that wasn't supposed to
Your reaction made it even funnier.
Oh, that wasn't supposed to be that funny. And yeah. All right. So I'm your co-host, Armand Wake Up. You can follow me on Twitter at Armand Wake Up, A-R-M-O-N-D, Wake Up, all one word. More importantly, follow the official Clock Radio Speakers Twitter handle at CRS Podcast. You can hit us up at clockradiospeakers.com. That's our Tumblr. That is SoundCloud. That is iTunes. Please vote, rate, comment, all that good stuff. And we're on Facebook. We're kind of on Facebook.
We're kind of on Instagram.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yo, we in the building, son. We officially have an Instagram at CRS Podcast, of course. So if you want to, Doc already posted a picture.
I posted one picture so that people knew. You know, it's weird if you have an account with no picture.
Right.
So a little something. I don't know what we're going to do there yet, but it was, you know what it was? It wasn't so much that people were like, man, I need Clock Radio Speakers on Instagram. As much as I wish that were the case. What it really is that you can now easily switch between accounts.
Yep.
On the Instagram app. And I'm like, oh, okay. Now I can make an account.
Right.
Because nobody wants to like log out, remember your past. Nobody wants any of that. We're right. Lazy. But I'm okay
right.
with that.
Right. Yeah, that's a lot of work, man. Like, yeah, like what? I know. Why did it take them so long to do that, though?
Why did it take them so long to do that? Why haven't they done regrams yet? I have a lot of questions for Instagram.
Why can't we mute users? For real.
You're like, I've seen enough of you.
Listen. Okay, so we're going to talk about a lot of random things this week.
That's right. So real quick, everybody, you can follow me on Twitter at
Doc underscore Beats. I'm so sorry.
It's okay. At Doc underscore Beats, S not a Z. Follow him on Twitter at Armand Wake Up. Follow the show. We said all that. Shout out to Fourth District. All right. We got random stuff.
Lot of random stuff. I missed the point I was going to. Wait. What was I going to say?
You were saying we got a lot of random stuff this week, but you were going to talk about why can't you mute people on Instagram?
If you can't do superficial follows on Twitter.
What do you mean by
you
that?
You can do superficial follows on Instagram.
So what is a superficial follow?
A superficial follow is something for a very lighthearted reason. Basically, it's like, I follow you because you're cute. Or I follow you. That's probably the number one most superficial follow.
What you mean to say is creepy.
It's not creepy.
Like early 2000s R&B creepy.
Yo, I don't know if you guys follow me on Twitter, but yesterday I was in like this deep abyss of like 90s. I just woke up with like random 90s R&B in my head, and not like your typical, like I was deep. I was listening to like Deborah Cox's first album. I was listening to Eric Benet. I was listening to like the most random stuff. And there was a lot of creepiness in those songs, like a lot of creepiness that was just seeping into our little minds, and we didn't even know it was like happening. So, you know, you're singing about a girl. Hey, girl, I can't wait to see you. Can't wait to get off work to see your lovely face, blah, 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 and put it on you. And I don't care if you got a man. It just goes left and then goes right back to, but baby, I just want, like, it was so random. And it was in virtually every song.
I feel like Ja Rule had some of that too.
I mean, he's a rapper.
But he took that sort of, like, every little thing I do is between me and you. Like, there was a lot of that.
Yeah, true. Very true. I didn't even think about that. That is a creepy. Yo, listen, man. Bring back Faithfulness. There's two things I want to see come back to music. I want to hear Faithful to My Girl music, and I want to hear Begging R&B back.
Now, aren't those diametrically opposed?
No.
Okay.
You can be faithful and still beg. Like, you can mess up and still be like, I'm sorry, baby.
Okay.
Baby,
all right. So you're not saying faultless. You're saying faithful.
Yeah. Nah.
You want a very chaste R&B.
Yes. I want a chaste R&B. Yes. That's okay. Funny. Yeah, I like run. Yeah, run after your girl. You need a good bag every once in a while.
You want some R&B that you can safely hand off to your daughter.
Absolutely. Oh right. Man, we have to talk about my daughter a little later, man. I gotta turn the conversation totally left. Just the last 24 hours have been absolutely crazy. So I need this laugh. This is really good. But yeah, absolutely. Like, see, it's you don't realize just how creepy the music is that you listen to until you have children in the car. Mm. You got your girl in the car. Yes, whatever. Even when I have my father in the car, my dad's the one who played all this music for me, so I don't feel weird. But I have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old, and I also have two nephews that are 14 and 11. And
oh, like, God, they're terrible human beings, probably. No disrespect.
Why do you say that?
Because all 14 and all 11-year-old boys are terrible.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. They're at that age where they're...
I was a terrible human being.
Yeah. Oh, those things are starting to change. Absolutely. Mm. Yeah. So, yeah, you just realize. And I'm like, man, I can't play. I can't play like 70% of this stuff. Thank God for Apple Music, though, because Apple Music does. It's easier for Apple Music to find the clean versions.
Right. But now you're finding stuff that maybe it doesn't have curse words, but the content might not exactly be the cleanest.
Yo, it's dirty clean.
Dirty clean.
It's dirty clean. Again, I always use this example. When I found out what SWV Rain was about, I was appalled and shocked. I did not know. And if you don't know what it is, I'm not even going to tell you.
This is a chaste podcast.
Yes, this is a chaste podcast. Absolutely. 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 So, yeah, man. So we're like random and off the cuff, right? Do we have anything like in particular that we want to talk about?
We could talk about your man, Peyton Manning.
Okay, so you want to talk Super Bowl?
We could talk Super Bowl.
Okay, cool. Let's
talk Super Bowl. So I know you were a fan of the artist formerly known as the St. Louis Rams. I know. Where are your loyalties these days?
The food that was at the Super Bowl party.
Right. Where did you, like before the game, who did you want to win?
I mean, I don't have a problem with either team. You know, I lived in Colorado for 8 years, so I'm totally cool with the Broncos, and I like what the Panthers were doing this year. I really hated dabbing. I really, really hated it. It was just either that's just a sign that I'm getting old, where I just don't like new trends, or seeing Hillary Clinton do it. I'm not sure what it was, but it was always just like, all right, come on, y'all. Like, we've turned sneezing into a dance. That's what we're doing now. So, but I like what Cam and all them are doing this year. It was dope. So I just wanted to see a good game.
Unfortunately, it was not a good game. It was a terrible game.
Define terrible.
It wasn't entertaining to watch.
Yeah, it wasn't.
It was definitely, it was a defense. Basically, if you enjoyed watching Cam Newton run for his life, basically.
Right.
Then you enjoyed that game.
Right.
Me as somebody, first of all, I'm not a Peyton Manning fan.
Of course.
Well, look, nobody has gotten an easier ride from journalists over the past 20 years. they really swept that HGH thing under the rug with the quickness.
Who?
The HGH thing.
The what?
Exactly.
Yeah, that was that double. Yeah. Now there's a lot of people who will say that is racist. And,
I don't know if it's racist because, like, well, you know, Tom Brady. I mean, Tom Brady might have had a football underinflated, and it was like a national manhunt for the truth for like 4 weeks. So, part of it too is how the media works.
Yeah,
like they like people, they dislike other people.
Yeah,
they like America. You know, it's amazing. Like those commercials. Like America kind of loves Peyton Manning, so yeah. They're not going to say anything bad about him. You know, like.
It's true.
Manning's he's a really smart guy. Like, you know, he's in those Papa John commercials and everything. Well, he also owns multiple Papa John's franchises. Uh-huh. He's like best friends with the Papa John's guy, who, by the way, is a complete dirt and scumbag. So
that, really?
Oh my goodness.
Why? What happened?
When
trying to take your girl or something? What happened?
No. He's trying to take your healthcare. When they were talking about passing Obamacare and how the rules were going to be, if you work 30 hours a week, that means you're full time, which means they have to provide something. He was basically like crying everywhere about how that was going to cause, you know, prices to rise and, he was railing against it, and he's very, very politically conservative. And you know, people did the math, and it would have been like, I don't know, 14 cents more or something. Like, it was like nothing. And basically, he just, you know, he didn't want to spend any money. And you know, at the post game thing, when he talked about Budweiser, like, that's not because he's a down home country boy. He owns a couple Budweiser distributors.
Bang bang.
Right. So all that to say, Peyton Manning's a really smart and calculating guy, which is why the notion that he would be sort of surprised that people might want to talk about the fact that HGH was shipped to his house under his wife's name, people might be a little suspicious about that. But media doesn't want anything to do with it. So I'm like, nah, I'm not hearing it. Forget Peyton Manning, you know. So I definitely had a rooting interest. I had a disrooting interest. I basically wanted to see Carolina stomp all over him. And then I was going to do high fives around my house.
You're just going to high five your wife and your
kid? Yeah.
Just rotate.
That's right.
Your turn again.
Ah. Right. My cat's just looking at my cats, you know, looking like all cats, disinterested.
Yeah.
What's this stupid human doing again? You know. But no, unfortunately for me, the Denver defense once again completely dominated.
Crazy.
Crazy. The commercial. I don't think the commercials were that great either.
The commercials haven't been good for some time now, so I don't even know why that's like an outrage. Like, oh, the commercials aren't there. When was the last year the commercials were good?
I feel like there's always at least a couple, but this year it was a real stretch. It was just like, there was nothing.
Well, there was. It was nice seeing. Well, I didn't see it until the next day, but it was cool seeing the Sabaka family back together.
I saw that, and problem was at the time, like, I immediately recognized
Frank. Yeah.
But it wasn't until later, because so I'm like, oh, well, he, you know, he's kind of one of those, like, that guys. You see in the movie? Oh, it's that guy.
He has a very distinct look.
Right. But he's always a character actor. And if he shows up in a movie or TV show, he's never like, he's typically never the main guy. So yeah. It's not like I was like, oh, it's that, you know, I was like, oh, it's that guy. Yeah. From The Wire. Yeah. But yeah. Right. The fact that the rest of the clan got back together.
Rest of the clan. The gang.
Ugh. Ziggy.
Oh my God.
Was he the most frustrating character?
Him and Naaman's mom were the two worst.
Naaman's mom.
Oh my God. Him and Naaman's mom. It's like, to no end. Those two.
She was terrible, but Ziggy might have been a whole other level. I don't know.
Yeah. That's possible. Yeah, it was bad. Yeah, that was probably the only highlight was, you know, seeing them or whatever, but the commercials,
Commercials weren't that great. We could talk about the halftime show later, because we want to talk about Beyonce as well. But aside from the halftime show, for you, was there, what was the highlight of the game? Was it the food?
Yeah, it was probably the food. Mm. And I don't know. You know me, like, I'm a Floyd Mayweather fan, so I like defense. I like watching defense. So, you know, and I like watching teams or opponents try to figure out a defense. So seeing what was working for Carolina, which was, you know, I don't know the football terminology, but number one, when they stopped running, and when they would sort of do the short passes, or they would lead the defense one way, pass the other way, get a lot of yardage, Cam threw a couple bombs that hit, but that Denver defense was too much.
Denver defense was too much.
And it was dope to watch the Denver defense be too much.
No, that's a phrase I could never say. First of all, they're Denver. I'm a Patriots fan.
Oh, yeah. You don't count.
Wow.
Oh, I told you. I got hands and feet for Vinatieri. I sure do. No respect to my Muslim brothers, but he's definitely on the Kufi list. You know, y'all got one of our rings, but that's neither here nor there. But yeah, I guess the big.
So afterwards.
Yeah.
So I'll tell you one thing. So Von Miller got MVP. He should have got MVP. He well deserved.
They should have, him and Ware should have shared it.
I think so, but I don't know. I have no problem with them giving it to Von Miller. But I don't know if you noticed. The assumption was always, if you won Super Bowl MVP, then that was sort of the I'm going to Disney World thing.
Yep.
Yeah. This year they did something different.
Yeah. What did they do?
They gave it to Peyton Manning instead. They invited Peyton Manning to the Disney World Parade. See, I'm gonna convert you to the anti Peyton Manning side by the end of this podcast.
I don't care enough about Peyton Manning to like dislike him. I'm good. There's way more important people to not like Smiles and South Star, and
yeah. the pride of Orlando, Florida.
Of course, I'm proud of it. I got to get my man Rich on the show one day to tell the story about how he almost beat Smiles up.
That's super random.
It's the funniest story in the world. Like, he has a story about almost fighting him, and he has a story about almost fighting Tracy McGrady. They are hilarious.
So he was really getting it in Orlando.
Yeah, he used to get it in Orlando. Okay. Oh, you Ohioans and your Cameron.
I brought it full circle there.
Ohio loves Cameron. I just want you to know that, and I want our listeners to know that. Mm-hmm. Ohio loves Cameron. They love Cameron. Right before I moved here, he was basically distributing guns and drugs through Ohio. So he was always here. So now that I guess the statute of limitations is up, he's like, hey, I'm going to put out a song that talks about all the illegal things I used to do and fake indict all of my partners that I used to do said illegal things with. Throw a beat on.
Tell me how you really feel about Killer.
I mean, you know, he's that guy, but I just... And then it's like, you know, the song is whatever, but, you know, Columbus is like, yo, he said this is how Ohio is. All you have to do is grab a microphone and say, Ohio! And they're like, yeah!
Look, it's been 20 years, and Connecticut is still holding on to the fact that Raekwon said, peace, Connecticut, in incarcerated Scarfaces. All right? That is all you need to know.
I don't know. Maybe because I'm military brat, like I don't really understand the hometown allegiance or loyalty or whatever. But I mean, just because somebody says St. Louis, like I'm not gonna get all hyped because that question is normally followed by number one, where's your accent, and number two, are you wearing Band-Aids on your face?
Y'all are never gonna live that down.
Never, ever in life.
It'd be like if you were from North Carolina and they said, "Are you gonna take your shirt off?"
Yeah, and spin it like a hell. See, that's what they should have came out with. They should have brought back Petey Pablo, had him on the sidelines, and that's why. And Carolina would be Super Bowl champions right now. Have Petey Pablo do blow the whistle at halftime. We don't need Bruno Mars and Beyonce. You get Petey Pablo. What's wrong with y'all?
They could bring back Beat Club. We could get
Sebastian,
Miss Jade.
Hey!
No,
hey,
look, hey. No shots at Miss Jade.
No Miss Jade slander on the show.
Of course, your man, Bubba Sparks.
Bubba Sparks.
Timbaland era only. Thank you very much.
Oh, God. So are they going to do, For All Y'all?
No.
Is that Beat Club?
No, I'm just saying, well, right. No, we could do Ugly.
Ugly would be dope. Just the instrumental, though.
You don't want to hear Bubba on it?
I mean, like, it's funny when you hear singles like that are like 10, 12 years old, because like they're really rapping. Like, it's like rappity rap. Like, not to say, I think Bubba is lyrical or was lyrical during that time. But like those 16 bar verses sometimes, they sound like it's like the way music is structured nowadays. It's like, yo, like, get to the hook. It's crazy. And it's unfortunate because I'm a rappity rapper.
If I were Bubba Sparks, I would just have a t-shirt made up that simply said, I once washed Jadakiss. And I would just wear it everywhere.
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 It's crazy.
So, Super Bowl, Peyton Manning was applauded.
Yep.
Your man Cam Newton, the other killer Cam.
Yep.
Caught a little heat.
Yeah.
There was a weird fumble. People were like, oh, he didn't go for it. When if you look at it, it actually looks like it's pretty obvious he thinks it's going to like ricochet. So he's like waiting to grab on it. And instead it doesn't. And he just gets caught.
Yeah. But
the way that, let's just say he was not smiling Cam. Be a great name for somebody in like a De Niro movie. There was no.
It's like the Goodfellas montage when like
right.
10 people die.
Or where they're doing the shot where they go into the club and it's like, you know, and they introduce all the people by their like gangster names or whatever.
Yeah. The guy's like, Smiling Cam over here.
Right. Hey, Smiling Cam.
How you doing?
At the post game press conference, he was very, very short with his answers.
Yeah.
Predictable backlash.
Stupid.
Yeah, they want to write something. But even before the game, I felt like the whole narrative, I was a little surprised. I shouldn't be surprised. It pretty much, like, they might as well have said it, even though they didn't say it, but they were pretty much saying, ooh, look, it's the white quarterback against the black quarterback.
Of course.
Like, they were really obvious with that.
Yeah, they were.
It's 2016.
Exactly. And we have not come as far as we think we have.
I know. Like, it's 7:17 Eastern as we record right now on the night when they're voting for the New Hampshire primaries. I have not checked, but I'm pretty sure by the time we're done recording the show, I'm going to hear that Donald Trump won. So, and, I mean, it's just New Hampshire. Don't get excited.
I mean, but still.
I know. But that's what I'm saying. Like,
troll is the language.
It's not even trolling. It's like, you know, it's just outright racism.
Jesus.
Which I'll be talking about on the next episode of Plead the Fourth, which you can find at fourthdistrict.com. All right.
Plead the Fourth. That needs to be y'all's theme song. Mm. And not the J Quest record. I plead the fourth. That's it.
I could get you to rap over four. We can get you to rap over the Night Court theme.
Yo, hold up. I'm about to find a horse and carriage instrumental right now. Hold up. Let me see if it's on. Yo, that's on my bucket list, son. Like, if I can find that beat, hold up. I used to love
that remix is terrible.
It's so bad.
You're not still periscoping this, are you?
No, I'm about to get off right now. No instrumental. Man, it sucks. I do have the Dark Horse instrumental though.
Why?
I mean, it was on YouTube as well.
Okay. So anything else you want to say about the Super Bowl?
Nah, I just don't think it's fair, like what they did with and like I just don't understand why you put someone in a position to show raw emotion and then they show you raw emotion and then you get mad at them for it. I get it, they want something right, but
no. And I think part of it too is there is this sort of implicit standard that, you know, if you're a quarterback, you're not allowed to show emotion unless you're like Brett Favre running down the field crazy or Tom Brady pumping his fist. But those are allowable. But you're not allowed to show emotion. You're not allowed to brag. You can't be happy. You've got to be stoic, right? You've always got to say, you know, never blame your team or anything like that unless you're Peyton Manning, who used to throw his offensive line on the bus all the time. Or basically there's double standards. But there's this idea of like, oh, well, you know, after a game, an athlete is, you know, you owe the media that you're supposed to – take responsibility and all these other.
Oh my God, it's nothing.
Thank you.
Oh yeah. What do I owe y'all?
Right. It is the same. It is sort of the. There is a percentage of the fan base in the media who they look at it as you make a lot of money, you owe us things, which is crazy.
Yeah. I guess that's the narrative that, you know, our culture subscribes to, where, you know, money will make you happy.
That's
not necessarily true at all.
Right.
Not necessarily. It's not true. But, you know, we're like, yo, if I had $1 million, no, you would be, you know, you'd be stressed out about tax. Go watch that Dave Chappelle skit when he first signed his deal with Comedy Central. I'm sure that's a smidge, albeit maybe a little exaggerated in some spots. But I think that might be a small example of how it is.
There's a long history of people who were rich and famous who clearly were not like happy with their lives.
Absolutely.
Here's a great example. I'm going to totally go side tangent. Did you watch the first episode of The People versus O.J. Simpson?
No. And I talked to, but I'm going to tell you why. Because I don't want to watch movies that I remember. Like you and I were talking about Straight Outta Compton. And like, we remember the whole Death Row era. So watching the second half of the movie is like, fam. I remember the Ruthless era very clearly. And that part was great. The Death Row era is so historically inaccurate. It's like you have to suspend disbelief. And you're talking to a wrestling fan who has a problem with suspending disbelief. I remember clear as day where I was like during the whole O.J. Simpson thing. Like, why do I need to watch a movie on this?
First of all, the casting is hilarious. Like, I can't even explain to you how weird it is. Like, Cuba Gooding as OJ.
Is Cuba still a good actor? Was he ever a good actor? Mm. I mean, aside from like Boys in the Hood, what was his other role that like?
Oh, Jerry Maguire. He was
Jerry.
I forgot about Boys in the Hood.
Oh yeah, that was it.
I didn't forget about the movie, but I forgot about him in it.
Yeah, he's the main character. He's Trey.
Yeah, I know he's the main character. John Travolta is Robert Shapiro with ridiculous like sort of makeup on, like to sort of make him look like it. David Schwimmer, Ross from Friends, is Robert Kardashian. Like, it's wow. completely ridiculous. It's completely over the top. It's kind of campy, but I was like, the first episode ends just as OJ's about to go into the Bronco, just as OJ leaves in the Bronco with AC.
Oh, wow. Oh, so this is like a mini series.
It's a mini series.
Oh, shoot. Well, yeah, they couldn't fit that into 2 hours.
No. It's a mini series. Yeah, I was like, okay, all right, I'm going to try this. It was enjoyable to me. There was a lot of stuff I totally forgot about.
Like?
Honestly, this is going to sound like I really should remember this. I really forgot, like, OJ's history of domestic violence.
He had a history, really?
See, this is what I'm talking about. He had a record, yeah, against Nicole.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Right.
You're like, of course you didn't.
No. I know. I'm saying, like, that's part of it, though, is we were so young when that happened. We yeah. remember the high points. But there was a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah, there was.
So all I'm saying is, it's funny because I'm always late to TV shows because I don't. It's gonna sound so hipster. I don't really watch a lot of TV. No, I don't.
Yes.
Listen. I own a house, which means I watch a lot of HGTV. Like, I'm keeping it 100% real.
Holla.
We're redoing our kitchen this year, so there's a Holla. Lot of home shows going on.
Yes.
So anyway. One last thing about the Super Bowl was the halftime show. So we, you know, Coldplay was the headliner, theoretically.
Okay, they were considered the headliner.
And when I first heard that, I was kind of like, Coldplay, like, does Coldplay have enough hits?
Yep.
I didn't think they did. For like that kind of show.
I think that Bruno Mars and Beyonce are such risks.
You think they're artists? Risks?
I'm speaking from the people who probably planned the Super Bowl.
They've previously done halftime shows.
I know, but you know, those are always a little scary.
They were well-received halftime shows. To me, it was that.
Right. I'm not okay. talking about, I'm talking about like a different perspective because okay. Coldplay sort of like dials it down. It's fun for the whole family. So Junior likes Bruno Mars, sister likes Beyonce, mom and dad can enjoy Coldplay.
You got a nice little family going on there.
Yeah.
Except really, you know, dad's like, oh, Beyonce. Oh.
Exactly. I'm like, yeah, Junior and dad are probably looking at Beyonce too. We talking about the video?
What's that?
We're talking about.
Yeah, we're good. I'm
okay. They're definitely looking at Beyonce. Get into that a little later.
To me, the interesting thing about having Beyonce and Bruno Mars was more that it was almost an acknowledgement that we can't just have Coldplay get up there. And do La Vida, do the Vita song.
Do La Vida. Yeah, they can't do like Strawberry
Paradise.
And, like,
and clocks. Like that'll get you part of the way, but like.
Not 30 minutes.
Right. And with Bruno on, I was not at all surprised. Of course, they're going to do Uptown Funk.
Of course.
I appreciate the little twist they did on it. That was, you know, at least we didn't have to hear the same song.
I like the ode to MC Hammer. Shout to Hammer.
Yep.
Why did Chris Martin not get the memo about black leather and gold chains?
Do you know what he would look like in black leather and gold chains?
Like,
you gotta be true to yourself.
No, he probably, yeah, you're right. He probably got the memo. It's like, nah.
Right. He shows up for rehearsal wearing the Bruno Mars outfit and they're like, all right, listen.
You got some Spizikes in the back? Go ahead and wear those.
Is that what those were?
Yeah, those are Spizikes.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
I just thought they were custom.
Well, I mean, they were custom Spizikes. You should. They were Super Bowl Spizikes to match the rainbow Spizikes. Stuff that they didn't. Yeah, that was a low point in shoes. If you have a pair of Spizikes or those like Air Force One Jordans, low point. I wonder if those are worth money. I hope not. Anyway,
but
halftime show.
But Beyonce.
Sorry, Cameron. I'm back.
Beyonce didn't do her collaboration with Coldplay, which is
and
on their album.
And that just came out, right?
Right. But instead, she does a song that came out roughly 24 hours before.
Yep.
Which I have never heard of at a Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Super Bowl is like your greatest hits.
Yeah.
Right. And she had when she did the Super Bowl, it was almost a year before her last album came out. So she could have done any number of songs.
Yeah.
Right. But instead, she does Formation. Yep. Let's talk about Formation.
Let's talk about it.
So video came out Saturday night. Saturday evening.
I think so. I was running through the city with my woes on Saturday. I gotta talk about that too. Okay. Yeah. I don't know what time it was, but it was definitely Saturday.
So it's a video released to Tidal, of course, but also to YouTube, which I thought was interesting.
Yep.
I was surprised by that, and I think I even texted you about it. But the fact that she performed it for the Super Bowl makes a lot more sense.
Absolutely.
But I want to talk about like the rollout in a second. But the actual song produced by Mike Will.
Yeah.
Co-written by Swae Lee.
Yeah.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, very much so.
Ebro was on Twitter. I saw a little of that.
What did he say?
He was basically like, you know, using quotations like, "Oh, co-writer." He was basically saying, "Oh, I co-inspire people." Basically, he has taken the old man approach of he is anti-race remembered. So if anything positive happens, it has to fit his narrative. It's kind of stupid.
Very, very. Well, his troll's not even funny. It's like it's annoying.
Right.
It's not even a good troll.
Before we talk about the video, what did you think of the song?
The song was cool. It felt a lot like 7-Eleven, just a little more lyrical, I guess, in terms of what she was talking about.
Right.
But it was all right. It needed the video. I don't know if I'd want to hear that song by itself. The video helped out a lot.
I think the video helps. It's a really good video. Like
it is a really good video.
Beyonce's video game is unparalleled.
Very much so. When she did her videos, right?
Right.
Okay, so I have to make a statement, then I'm going to ask a question. So when she did her videos, she didn't do the 50 Cent, the massacre thing where they just switched green screens and he just changed G-Unit wife beaters, right? Like each one of her videos on her last album had a theme, budget.
Yeah.
They were all really, really good. So I'm getting ahead of myself, but like, does she have to do that from here on out now? Has she like set her own standard where she has to meet it as well?
I definitely think she set a standard, but I think you could ask that. I wonder. I mean, you might be right. I mean, I think something similar kind of happened to MJ, where because of the success of his videos in the 80s, when he did stuff for Dangerous, every video had to be an event.
And it was.
Right. Regardless of if it was appropriate, like they even tried to make the video for Jam a big thing.
I remember it because that was Michael Jordan and
Macaulay Culkin, right?
Yep.
But like, I remember when Black or White was introduced. Like,
oh yeah,
there was like a half hour special.
It was on like 10 different channels.
Right. Right.
Yep.
I remember when Remember the Time came out.
Of course, classic.
Right.
That might be like the best video moment ever.
Best video moment ever. I mean,
we'll roll out in terms of like best, favorite, whatever. Remember the Time, the whole movie was just, that was incredible.
I mean, Thriller is so legendary.
Thriller's a little before my time.
Mm. I mean, yeah, I was, I don't know.
You like four?
No,
three?
I was zero.
Wait, when did Thriller's
83?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I wasn't even born yet. So
right.
I don't care.
Right.
That doesn't care.
But you're right. So in terms of stuff that we remember, I'm trying to think if there's anything that's kind of comparable.
Maybe Black and White. Yeah.
I didn't love Black or White as much, though.
I mean, the song was okay. The video was dope, though.
Remember the Time's a better song, I think.
That might be top. That's top five MJ for me.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Hmm.
Oh, yeah. Remember the Time's an incredible record. Like, I wasn't a big fan of Dangerous.
I need to go back and revisit Dangerous.
Do we need to do them? See, I didn't even get the question out.
He's asking if we should do an MJ retro, which I almost don't even know if I'm qualified.
Yeah.
To talk about an MJ retro.
At least the first 3.5 albums, like it's so weird because all we're gonna do is gush over Off the Wall and Thriller.
Look, if you want to start with Don't Stop Till You Get Enough and end with Scream, I think I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like Stranger in Moscow though. That's a dope record. It's a super underrated record. From history. Anything after that? Mm-mm. Nope. Except Butterflies.
You didn't like the Jay-Z remix of Rock My World?
No.
Wait, what was the Biggie record?
Oh, shoot.
Unbreakable? No.
What
was it? Hold on. See, you know, if
it was
only...
the name of the album. Was it Unbreakable? What's the
yeah,
name
I
of
just
album?
Said Unbreakable, yeah.
Okay, yeah. It was Unbreakable.
Is it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
See, now I'm looking it up. Yeah, it's Unbreakable.
Yeah, it's the big, that was the biggie.
Oh, wait, there was another one. What is this? This Time Around?
Yeah.
That was on History.
Yep, I remember that.
I don't remember that at all. Huh. I don't even know if I've ever heard that.
Yeah, it's okay.
Okay.
It's okay. I think Heavy D's verse on Jam, is that the best Michael Jackson guest rap verse?
What are the competitors?
I was about to say, I don't know. There's the Biggie, there's... Well, you know what? His four bar rap on Black or White with the guitars, it was kind of hard. Oh, you know, yeah. Who rapped on Black or White? And Macaulay Culkin did the lip singing in the video. It's all about races, just faces. Hey, that joint.
See, the problem was is in the early 90s, there were all sorts of random dudes rapping on records. And you're like, who are these people?
Who are these people? And they always used to come on a record like, and then they were just like, it made no sense.
Right. I feel like, but I feel they like, would, were they all just like random members of CNC Music Factory? I'm not really sure. Like, I feel like it's all the same thing.
Oh, did he write that verse? To move your butt.
Hold on.
Did he write that?
I'm reading this. Hold on.
Shout out to Martha Wash. Shout out to Black Box.
Who's rapping on this song? What? Why is it so difficult to find out? Come on.
What are you talking about on Black or White?
Black or White. I really need to know. Hold on. This is literally what I'm going to type into Google. Who raps on Black or White? Don't fail me now, Google. Meet the mystery. See, I love this. Meet the mystery man who rapped on Michael Jackson's Black or White.
Jesus. Oh, man. Shout out to Google. What's his name?
Oh, it's the white guy who played guitar.
What?
Yeah.
What white guy who played guitar?
The guitar riff.
On the... I'm scared of your front. That?
Yeah, yeah.
So he puts the guitar down and picks a mic up?
Yeah.
All right.
He even specifically put it under a pseudonym. Right. He didn't want anybody to know.
So this reminds me of the episode of The Simpsons where Groundskeeper Willie had the whole band suit. He had the drums, he had the cymbals like taped to his hands, he had the accordion. I think he was singing Maniac. Simpsons is the greatest show ever. Okay.
All right. So anyway, so Beyonce's videos.
Yeah, Beyonce's videos. Right. She has great videos.
Yeah. I don't know if she has to do it for all of them. I think it's really interesting that all she has to do to set off a world tour is put a video out and then call it the Formation World Tour. And now she's going to sell out stadiums.
Well, they sold out already.
Oh, it already happened?
Yeah. Went on sale today.
Well, I knew they went on sale. Wow, they already sold out.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean,
so,
in seconds.
Right. So she doesn't even need to, like, why even worry about an album?
I think, you know what I'm thinking? When we talk about future, I caught a revelation about the moment. In a lot of cases, the moment and the level of excitement that you're able to drum up in the moment determines if people like the product or the project.
Right. And once again, like we talk about how like Drake's team typically has really good execution. Beyonce's team has flawless execution.
Flawless.
So
no pun.
Right. The video comes out, got to be untitled because that's their deal, but also sneakily on YouTube, which is important because she's performing it live the next night and she needs the internet to not have to hunt for this.
Yep.
So that's an interesting, you know, plus I think if it's just as a video on title, I don't think Billboard takes that into account yet. Like there are real issues with it's part of why Rihanna had such weird like charting stuff initially with her, like now Rihanna's role is a whole other question, but clearly, like, and it's the same thing with why Hotline Bling, when that video came out, why it didn't hit number one, because it was exclusive to Apple Music. Like, they're still working all this stuff out. Like, as these streaming services, and actually, I'm surprised that Spotify isn't in the music video game yet. But as these streaming services lock down not just exclusive audio, but exclusive music videos, that hasn't quite, all the different ways that people keep track of this stuff hasn't caught up. So like when if they decide to do a real big push for this song, it can't just be on Tidal, unfortunately. Right. That's a limitation of Tidal right now.
Agree.
The actual video, I mean, we said it was great before, but like, no joke, it's incredible.
Yeah.
like sonically, the beat was really grown on me. It's interesting to sort of hear, like, I realized this when I was listening to the Future album, prepping for the show. Like, I'm really just sort of like, I'm not over trap, but like, I feel like we've heard it all.
Yeah.
Like, it's getting to the point where it's like, all right, do you have anything else? And trap's had a long run. Absolutely. Like, this sound that is out right now, it's tweaked and evolved a little bit, but like, you can start with Lex Luger in 2010.
Yeah.
And draw a line. And basically, somewhere along the way, everybody picked up Young Chop's pitch snare and the hi-hats. Young Hats. I've called myself Young Hi-Hat. That's the...
we're going to take that and run with it. That's your new producer name now.
Young Hi-Hat?
No, just Young Hat.
Young Hat. In every video that we shoot, I got a new hat.
No, every scene.
No, like somewhere along the way it adapted because everybody picked up his pitched snare and what he was doing with hi-hats and really what that whole Chicago drill sound was doing with hi-hats. But aside from that, it's been like a 5 or 6 year run.
I say before then, because I mean trap began with T.I.'s trap music.
That is weird. But when I say trap, I mean this very particular, like, I want to say it's very cold sounding.
So like a dark trap?
Like, I don't consider what DJ Toomp does to be trap.
I do.
Okay. When I say trap,
it's a different
kind of sound. I mean, what I really mean, it starts with Lex Luger, Young Chop, Mike Will. Now all these Atlanta guys, Metro, Southside, TM88, is a very consistent sound.
Does this start with Shorty Red?
It might start with Shorty Red.
It might start with The Recession.
It might, but honestly, in a weird way, that MMG album.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Basically, mm-hmm. Wasn't the start of it, but it was like this is now the sound.
It was the apex. I agree.
It wasn't the apex, but it was literally like, okay, now everybody's going to do this. And, you know, for the beat on Formation, it's definitely like a trap beat, but it's a little different and it works for the song.
Yeah.
It's interesting that Beyonce, for a song that she's performing at the Super Bowl, like, people have said a lot, and I'm totally unqualified to talk about how unapologetically, not just black and not just female, but how unapologetically Southern the song is.
Yeah.
Like, I am a white Northern male. I am so unqualified to talk about that aspect of it. But so people have talked a lot about how it is noteworthy that not only is the song those things, but also that she did at the Super Bowl. But frankly, like, she's a major star. She is one of the biggest stars, music stars on the planet.
Yeah.
And she's not trying to, like, I don't want to say sell out, because that's a 90s word. She's not softening her sound at all.
Yeah.
She is unafraid to go there.
Yeah.
Not just in terms of content, but also in terms of how it sounds.
Yep.
Like, if you would have told, like, I'm just trying to think, like, the thought of that kind of beat with what Beyonce is singing about, like, and just the whole attitude and it's an overused word now, but like, literally, like, her fierceness, like, what she is bringing to this record, to see that at the Super Bowl is unbelievable.
Yeah.
She is at the top of her game.
Yeah. Yeah. So rumor has it, album drops tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Rumor has it drops tomorrow. Well, tonight. That's the rumor. I don't know how strong that rumor is, but I've seen it floating around today.
So that doesn't really make any sense. Well, that's interesting. So the way that Billboard works now, it's on the Friday to Thursday cycle. That's why everybody drops on Friday. That's why Rihanna dropping on Thursday night was silly, because she only got a couple hours worth of time in on that first chart. So everybody knows Kanye's dropping. But I guess if you drop on Tuesday, you get two days, and Beyonce's not going to need more than that to be number one.
Yeah. That's true. I don't know if Beyonce goes against Kanye. Not to say that she's not.
Oh, no, she'll sell way more. But there is only so much oxygen in the internet.
Right. Absolutely. That's exactly what I'm talking
about. And Kanye continues to find new ways to suck it up.
Yeah.
He is infinitely capable of absorbing attention.
Yeah. I mean, like, while we were periscoping, we had people in there like, hey, Kanye's acting out again on Twitter. Like, I don't care.
Right.
Where's at this point, like, where's the album?
Oh,
like,
we should say about Kanye real quick. I don't even know if I've said, like, so everybody who's listening knows. Yes, I'm gonna catch a screening of the show he's doing on Thursday afternoon.
Okay, so you caught the ticket.
Yeah, I'm not going to Madison Square Garden.
Oh, come on, man. You got to see him hang his Rockefeller jersey in the rafters.
I don't need to try to get trampled by fanboys who are going to stand in line for overpriced merchandise.
Slouchy sweaters and...
Right.
Although I'll get in that.
The Zoolander chic look that he ushered in a couple years ago, you were very correct. And he was just way too ahead of his time.
Yep. And now it's starting to slow down and catch up.
Right. So it's funny. I was telling somebody, like, honestly, it's for y'all. I'm considering this podcast research because this is either going to be really interesting and like something where I'm like, wow, okay, or it's going to be just terrible.
You talking about Kanye's album?
No, I mean this.
All the event. The thing.
Like, everything's on the table.
Yeah.
I have no idea what I'm getting into.
Yeah, agree.
I'm showing up because it's a spectacle. But so that'll be on Thursday.
Is that Thursday? I thought it was Friday.
No, it's Thursday, 4:15 Eastern.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Now, I know they're in Columbus, but you're not going.
Nah, I can't go on Thursday. I would have liked, if it was on Friday, then, but again, it was at $25.
We did talk about it last week.
We did. So was it $25 flat or did you have to pay like taxes too?
No, it was $25 flat.
Okay.
You need some
Yeezys or something for the show up?
No. First of all,
white sunglasses?
No. If anybody is going to the Manchester, Connecticut showing, you'll be able to spot me because I will be looking like a prepped out white boy because I'm a white boy from Connecticut.
You should wear a Clock Radio speaker shirt. you should do a meetup.
You understand it's winter up here and I'm not wearing a t-shirt outside right now.
You know, just layer it.
Layer it.
Yeah, get your layer on.
I'm wearing a flannel shirt right now, man. What are you talking?
Layer the flannel.
this isn't crazy. The '90s.
I've been layering flannel for the last. I've been getting my 1996. I think I'm going to go with like a Fred Durst look this summer.
I'm not even dignifying that with a response.
No hat.
So the tour sold out for Beyonce. Yeah. Rumor an album's coming soon.
Yeah.
Anything else?
I think that I'm not mad at another album. I don't think it's necessary, but I'm not mad at it. Yeah, it's just really interesting. And like, these are the type of records that she's making in such a prime of her career. You know what I'm saying? Not even talking about like content wise. I'm glad that she's making these bold statements with her videos. And, you know, she's got Big Freedia in the video, just making it as authentically New Orleans as possible. And not as authentically Black as possible. It's like there are no safe records. There are no ballads.
Right.
There are no like mid-tempo R&B. There's no, it's a trap, but it's like, it's a moving trap.
Yeah.
So it's like, it forces you to dance. It's like a dance trap, you know, and then accompanying the visuals. Cause again, this is what's amazing about this video and about this whole rollout. All I've been hearing this whole weekend has been one word: formation. She has instantly branded that word.
Right.
To mean so many things and then instantly point back to her. So I was talking to a artist friend of mine. Shout out to my boy, Jonathan Baker. We were talking about his album comes out in March. I can't give the date away. So we're talking about different ideas, you know, how to roll it out, et cetera, et cetera. And the stereotypical, the idea of the average independent artist is keep leaking records. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But if you have one really, really strong record, do your whole campaign around the one record. It's much easier nowadays because of our short attention spans to get somebody's attention for 4 minutes versus 45 minutes for your whole project. So focus on that. Focus on that one record because Beyonce did it. And of course, Beyonce is always the exception. But you can take and cherry pick things that she did and then stick them in the realm of what you're able to do resource wise and do that. I think she's going to change the game again, but it won't be so obvious this time. It'll be subtle changes to what she originally did in 2013.
So here's the question. Go ahead.
I was going to say, if you're paying attention, then you'll be able to catch it. But if not, you're expecting a big bang. And Beyonce's done this before. Put a single out, go on tour. She tours all the time. So that's not the issue. It's the other intangibles that come along with it. But what's the question?
Is it title only? Yeah. See, right, because they're not going to do like a Samsung deal for her.
Right.
Because she doesn't need it. She'll sell anyway.
Yep.
And you don't need that money on the table.
Yep.
But are they going to try to make it, you have to buy it through Tidal? Because that will put a real cramp on the number of downloads. Because she'll have a lot of dedicated fans who will jump through whatever hoops, but there's a limit.
Yep. Agreed.
So if there is an album coming at some point, that'll be really fascinating. Can she get away with Tidal only?
Yes and no. People will want to hear it because it's an event.
Right.
But downloading has decreased significantly. But you'll have no other choice. Hmm. You'll see bootleg copies of her album everywhere.
Right.
Because people are gonna sign up for Tidal, but a lot of people aren't.
Right.
So
speaking of albums exclusive to one single online retailer.
Yes, sir.
Let's talk really quick about your man, Future Hendrix.
Yeah, man.
My man. So he's apparently got an Apple Music deal now.
Yeah.
Put out an album last week. I feel like it's kind of flowing under the radar a little bit. I don't know.
This Future album, you think
yeah,
so?
Yeah.
No? Nah, I mean, there was a lot of talk about it on Friday.
Mm. It was one day.
I was about to say, I mean, but that's what happened with a few projects. We talked about that with Church Close 3, like a few projects that just sort of come out of the blue. Yeah. They go just as quick as they come.
Right. DS2, I feel had a surprise. Like people were surprised by his first week numbers, but I feel like that album had a slow burn.
It did because it had records.
It had Where You At.
It had records that, yeah, had Where You At. It had the momentum of Real Sisters and March Madness and some of the stuff that he had already put out.
Right.
And then I Serve the Bass, Where You At. A few records on there stuck out.
Right.
You know, where now it's about the whole project, but I'm not hearing people talk about individual records on these projects. And by these projects, I mean Evil. Love spelled backwards.
When you told me that last week, I thought you were joking.
Come on, man. Purple Rain is the other project. And
Purple Rain was the mixtape, right?
Yeah. That came out, what, 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah, he has decided he must have listened to Clock Radio Speakers, and he said this Doc guy does not know what he's talking about.
He's really doing this all to spite you.
He's a big troll.
He's really doing this to spite you.
And despite all that, I would still be happy to sell him a beat. I think he'd sound good on some boom bap. What do you think?
He really wouldn't.
So
did you listen to this?
I listened to the album. It's all right. It's more energetic, I would say. Like overall, the sound is not, and this is intentional. The sound of Dirty Sprite 2 is syrupy. Like it is a slower record. You know, some of the records have energy, but I feel like on DS2, but I feel like Evil has, there are more records like that. It is a slightly different sound for him than it's not DS3.
Right.
But considering that like Metro and Southside are all over these records, I kind of had higher hopes for some of these beats. There are a handful of them that I like. The beat on Little Haiti Baby is ridiculous. But a lot of these other ones, it's what I said earlier when we were talking about, you know, this era of trap music. Like a lot of these are like, okay, I'm pretty sure I've heard like most of this beat before.
Yeah.
I don't know. A lot of these songs kind of run together. I'm not really interested at all in his drama with Sierra. At this point, like you could do a Mad Libs to sort of pick the lyrics for a Future song. Now, he's not the only artist who's like that. There are lots of artists who are super predictable, but I don't know. It's definitely a Future album. It's exactly like it's a Future album. It's exactly what that sounds like.
Yep.
He's not advancing his sound. It's not like he's like really refining it where it's like, okay, it's like Dirty Sprite 2, except, you know, imagine a whole bunch of hits or a whole bunch of, like, it's not like that at all.
Yeah.
I feel like most of these records, I feel like there's probably 20 other ones like it sitting on Metro Boomin's hard drive somewhere.
Exactly.
And they could have put out two other albums just like this. And maybe that's what the Apple Music deal is, right? Maybe it's an acknowledgement of, why are we giving away mixtapes?
Yeah.
If they're, because they churn out music at a ridiculous rate. Like Metro's got a, basically they've got this whole setup where it's just like people come through, they make a lot of music, and it's like, look, if people are buying it or if they're streaming it and they like it, then yeah, just let's get it on Apple Music. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. Like, even in the process of like bootlegging dying, I think that potentially put a dent in that PIF and live mixtapes, aside from, you know, your sample clearances and stuff like that. Like, if you can put together some semi-original music, throw it on there and get some stream revenue back.
I don't know. I feel like those two didn't really particularly adapt well to smartphones. Like, they had mobile apps, DatPiff and Live Mixtapes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
They had mobile apps, but they didn't. They were not what they could have been.
I agree. So now it's like name recognition, which is why people use them.
Right.
I haven't used AudioMax app, but I've heard good things about it.
They never had the name recognition, though.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So it's still all SoundCloud.
All SoundCloud, everything.
Yeah, all SoundCloud. But a lot of this record, I agree with you. Like, it really just sort of ran into each other. I didn't hear anything that stood out. And that's sort of what I was waiting for. I get with most future projects, to me, a lot of it is going to be muddled together, but then you'll hear a couple of records that stand out. And I didn't hear any, but then again, I only heard it once. So, you know, maybe I need to hear it again. Again, when it's warm out, I'm in a super R&B mood. Like, I've been all R&B'd out for the last week and a half. Mm-hmm. So, you know, maybe I'm just not in the right headspace to, you know, turn up to some mumble jumble. So I don't know.
Yeah, no, you know.
Has he been on tour yet?
Has he been on tour yet?
Say, wasn't that what Purple Rain was about? Was for the tour? Now you're putting out a whole nother project?
His audience has a really short attention span.
I see.
That's an interesting thought, though. You know, it's like, so right now we've got people who are basically, you know, they're signing up with Apple Music, and the whole idea is, okay, you know, if you're a future fan, now that he has an Apple Music deal, you pretty much need to subscribe to Apple Music, right? Same goes for Drake. Like, if you're a Drake fan, you pretty much need to subscribe to Apple Music.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What'll be interesting is, for a big enough name artist, like, who's going to cut out the middleman entirely? Who's going to say, no. Here's what you're going to do. You can subscribe to the Kanye West app.
Mm.
Right. Or Beyonce. I mean, Beyonce's got a title, but, you know, like Taylor Swift, when she comes out, like, you know, no. Here's what you can do. And like, and you get a steady stream of stuff. And maybe the big albums still pop up on iTunes and everything else, but you just get a steady stream of all this other stuff. Now, that's only that only works in certain cases, like artists who have a high output. Like Wayne, like if you take 06 Wayne and transplant him to now, he could have done this.
Yeah.
Right? He would have been the perfect candidate for Apple Music. He's like, sure, I got tracks everywhere. Let me just start throwing them out, you know?
Right.
But like, they're taking advantage of the fact that right now, anyway, Apple Music's throwing around money, right? And pretty soon, like, all these other, like, Spotify and, you know, Amazon's rumored to be getting, like, really in on streaming. Like, when there's big companies like that, they're paying for content. You know, they're like, okay, they're putting money up front so they can become the ultimate home of that. But I wonder if eventually we'll get to a place where artists are like, no. Like, you can have my stuff, like, you can have, quote unquote, my albums, but like, I've got this whole other revenue stream over here.
Yeah.
Like, you know, subscribe to me.
Yeah.
I wonder if we'll get there. I mean, this is still in the early days of this, and there's still money to be had. So that's why artists like Drake and Future are taking it.
Mm-hmm.
But it'd be interesting to see where this goes.
Yep. I agree. But the music industry has to find a way to offer some incentive to sort of like, because I mean, you think about it, what label is Drake connected to? You
know
what I'm saying? Like Wayne is always connected to Cash Money.
Right.
Jay-Z's always connected to Rockefeller. DMX is always connected to Rough Riders. Like, Drake, people know that he's on Cash Money, but like, you know, like, Drake is his own thing.
Right.
So we're always, I believe that we're already beginning to see like the start of that.
Right.
What you just talked about. I think Drake is probably going to be the first one to do it. I think Kanye would like overshoot it. I think he'd overthink it.
Kanye doesn't put out enough content anymore.
Yeah. I think Drake and Beyonce, well, yeah, that's a good point too. Drake is probably the poster boy for that because he puts one-offs out and freestyles, and like, he's probably the most notable. I feel like somebody like on a lower tier, like a Currency or something like that, could pull that off.
It has to be a lower price point, but that's an interesting idea.
Yeah, absolutely. I think somebody like a Currency, even a, well, I don't know about a Wiz Khalifa, just because Wiz is still like really popular, but like everybody hates his music. It's weird.
So that's an interesting idea. So what about this? So like, you know how people always want for cable TV to be a la carte? They want,
yes,
let me just grab this channel and this channel.
Yep.
With, and what's ended up happening is you might be paying the same amount of money or even a little less, but you're getting more of what you think you want. What if somebody tries to sign up artists to a thing where it's like, no, I'm not paying $10 a month to Spotify or Apple Music. Instead, like, there's really only like 8 artists in the world that I really care about that much.
Mm.
So instead, I'm going here and I'm gonna subscribe to Currency for 99 cents a month.
Yeah.
I'm gonna subscribe to, you know, whoever for 99 cents a month, and you pick and choose. But you get a whole lot of stuff. And that's a lot more money coming to an artist than they're getting from somebody's $10 a month that goes to Spotify.
Yeah. Yeah, but then that also doesn't create an environment where you can discover new music.
Well, sure. But I mean, you could say the same thing about the way that people, you know, want to, like, people are like, oh, well, you know, I want, you know, I don't want 8,000 TV channels. I just want the ones that I want. I mean, it's the same thing, right? It's the same problem with social media discovery.
Which is?
Well, it's hard, right? Because you follow who you follow. And true. Unless somebody recommends it. So something like that would definitely have to have a social component.
Well, that's what Twitter's doing now. And there's a lot of backlash because now they're supposed to be turning their timelines into Facebook, right?
Nah, they're going to experiment with some stuff. But you could totally see. Remember how Twitter tried Twitter Music?
I forgot all about that.
That was sort of too early. But like, you can see that now where it's like, and this sort of thing where it could be like, no, you know what? Like, you know, yeah, go ahead. Authorize with Twitter, Facebook, whoever. And the people who I follow, let me see what they're listening to as well.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like there's something you could do there. Like,
sort of what Spotify was doing with Facebook, where like every time you play something, it would post it on your page.
Yeah, but that's kind of, I don't know. I feel like people didn't really love that. But I guess what I'm trying to get at is, I don't think at this point, if someone, like, we know, okay, we've seen like Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, they're all, some of them, you know, they have varying different ways of working on top, but it's all the same model. It's everything in the world. And then they're just trying, or as much as they can, and you pay a flat fee and they put these things on top, whether Spotify, it's Discover Weekly, whether for Apple, it's, you know, what they're doing with playlists or with Beats One Radio, or, you know, and I'm sure Tidal has some stuff. Like, they're all trying to like help you discover new stuff on top. Maybe the answer isn't give me everything on the planet, right? It's an extension of what we talked about last week. Like, for your biggest fans, like, you know, maybe there's a different way.
Huh.
I don't know. I need to think. I'm really workshopping this on the fly on this podcast. Sorry, it's not a really well thought out thing, but I don't know. I feel like we've sort of seen. Okay, great. Every song ever, awesome. There's now I have too much.
It's because it's funny because even with that, you sort of go into the same maybe 20, 30, 40, 50 artists that you listen to. Even like your, you know, so.
Yeah, that the For You section on Apple Music. They know me way too well.
Yeah, so I use, it's weird. I still primarily use Spotify for my playlist, and I use it for song radio. I think their curation is better than Apple Music's right now.
Mm.
So, you know, if I want to hear a song that sounds like this, then I'm going to go to Spotify. Or hear a playlist of songs that sound like this. But those still revolve around the same 10, 15 artists, you know? So it's not that spread out.
Hmm.
So it might not be, even though it's every song ever, like, you know, maybe you can break it down by genre. Like, I'm never going to listen to bluegrass, so maybe I don't need that. You know, I'm never going to listen to reggae. Maybe I don't need that. So maybe that changes the price point.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like people might try that, and then they probably would pretty quickly go, no, you know what? I'm going to have to spend more money. I think I'll just take my... Because if you kind of think about it, like, how much did you spend on CDs in the late 90s?
Jesus, I could own a house right now.
Right. So, frankly, $10 a month for access to most of the music that you would ever want to listen to is pretty good.
Absolutely.
It's a pretty good deal.
That's why I pay $20 a month.
We hope you enjoyed Side A of this week's episode. Please check out Side B at clockradiospeakers.com.